Welcome back. This is episode 14 of Books Closed.
This episode is sponsored by Kosai Publications, offering quality books on irezumi, tattooing, zen, and Japanese culture, and Alliance Tattoo Supply, a tattooer-owned company offering high-quality tools and supplies to make your job easier.
I'm Andrew Storitz, and I'm a tattooer from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, or as the locals say, New Hampshire. And when I first started the show, I had an initial list of tattooers that I wanted to have on as guests, and I'm glad to say that this week's guest comes from that very first list that I had made before there was ever any Books Closed to listen to. Heather Bailey is a tattooer from Los Angeles, and she was doing a few guest spots around New England, so I was able to link up with her in Boston, and we did the interview. It was great. You're going to hear about her background, how she came up in tattooing, a bunch of the shops she's worked at, some different experiences and opinions, and let's just let her tell you about it instead of me. Here's my interview with Heather Bailey. Today, we're in Los Angeles. No, we're not.
We are not.
We're actually in Boston. Mm-hmm. Boston-ish. I don't know, the subdivisions of Boston.
Brighton, but Boston.
Right. I've neglected to ask a very important question of most of my guests so far, so I don't want to neglect this for another second with you. How good are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Some days I'm better than others, you know.
How are you today?
Today I'm in someone else's shop. I've been traveling a lot. I would say, about a 6.
A strong 6.
Strong 6 today. Don't tell that to my customers.
Yeah, I'm sure they won't be listening.
No, of course not.
So for the listeners out there, can I get a brief background? Where has tattooing taken you?
Let's see, I think I was 21, 22. That's when I started my apprenticeship. So it was 2002? Yeah, 2003. No, 2003. San Diego, I apprenticed, and then during that time of learning, I discovered San Francisco and decided that's where I needed to be, because that was where what I call the tattoo mecca was. So I moved in 04 and worked at street shops, worked at Goldfields, which is pretty infamous, got fired from Henry, which... Everyone says you're not a tattooer until you get fired from Henry Goldfield. worked in a street shop for about 3 years in past Oakland, the deep East Bay, in a place called Pleasant Hill. I was commuting from San Francisco every day. That's basically where I just tattooed constantly and got to be a lot better than I was. And then I moved to San Diego, got a really great opportunity working at Avalon 2. I think it's one of the oldest custom tattoo shops. It opened in 89 in San Diego. And then got the offer to work at Spider Murphy's. So moved back to the Bay, was there for 5 years, worked at Black Heart Tattoo in San Francisco for 3, and then now I'm in LA.
You've worked in all the right places, it sounds like. In a lot of cases, anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe some of the wrong places.
Sure.
But was it always a feel of, in the early years, climbing the ladder to kind of get to a place where you were maybe more happy to be?
Yeah. I mean, I always tried to do it the correct way. I mean, correct way for myself, because everyone has a different way of doing things. But yeah, just wanted to work really hard. And at that time I was like, I need to get tattooed by the people that I really admire. And that I think really helped me. I formed a lot of friendships and connections, and people knew I was around. And I think that really helped me land working in 2 really amazing shops.
Yeah. I feel like probably when you're at Spider Murphy's is when a lot of people became more familiar with your work.
Well, that's when my work started to, I developed an actual style. Yeah.
And that's something I wanted to ask too, because when I was thinking of things I wanted to get to the bottom of in the second season of episodes is there's shops that we all know of that have a very distinct and cohesive look to the artists, like Inksmith or Smith Street, and Spider Murphy's is definitely one of those shops. And it was never more apparent than when those massive flash Bibles were unleashed into the world.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Is it a conscious effort? Is it, do you guys have a team meeting and you put your hands in the center and you said, all right, we're going to do the sickest stuff and it's all going to be cohesive and we're each going to have our own thing, but it's going to be tight. How does that work?
I mean, Theo is really great at marketing. He's not only an incredible artist and tattooer, but he has, you know, a really solid idea of what he wants in his shop and the people who work for him. And I never really painted until I got there. He really showed me how to paint as well as a lot of the other guys there. So I kind of just learned how to paint like he painted. And I think he just shares a lot of what he does with everyone. And it just... we all use the same colors, you know, it's not so much like you have to use these things, because I've been asked this many times.
Right.
But it just kind of happens. And from being an apprentice in 2003, looking through magazines, because there really wasn't a lot of internet stuff for tattooing. There was, I think, a couple of websites at that time, but I would be looking at magazines and I would see Spider Murphy's Theo Mindell and be like, oh my God, who is this person? I've never seen anything like this. This is incredible. So
in the first folder of tattoo images that I saved off of the internet were like at least five of his tattoos.
Oh, of course.
And looking back on it, they're still awesome, but all the other stuff I saved is not awesome.
Yeah.
It was like weird koi fish with like weird eyeballs and like weird water and stuff.
But yeah, of course.
So he's definitely one of those people who've been around forever and was just always good.
Yeah. I mean, and he really had a definitive style. As with a lot of other people, I mean, Scott Sylvia, Tim Lehigh, Jeff Rasher, they all have a very distinct style as well. I mean, they all can do anything too. So we would all kind of paint, and he really sat me down and said, What do you want to draw? What do you want to tattoo? And I said, I don't really know. I've never been asked that question. And he's like, well, think about subject matter that you like, and then let's paint that. And so I told him, I'm really into history and literature and certain time periods of history, I'd say, and that really shows through in what I paint and tattoo.
It sounds simple when you put it like that.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? And then you just do it.
Yeah.
But it's
right.
Not that easy.
It wasn't that easy. No. No. I looked at the flash that I painted in the second book compared to the flash I did in the first book. And I love the flash I did in the second book more. But I know the first book was just, it had like, it was the first of its kind. And even that subject matter I was doing, like the witchcraft and all that, like it hadn't, I mean, people had been doing it, but not like that.
Yeah. That book was definitely, I feel like everyone had it when it came out, and every convention I did that year, everyone had it out on their table and was tattooing out of it and stuff. And I feel like it's gotta be cool to be part of like a definitive piece in time in tattooing like that.
Yeah.
'Cause I can't think of other books in the last, however few many years or whatever, that were that popular, I guess.
Yeah.
You must see that stuff all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, I was just in Salem walking around and I saw it all on a wall in a tattoo shop, and I went in and I'm like, "That you have all my flash on the wall. That's so cool." You know?
Yeah. That's neat.
Yeah.
So while you were all working on that book, how many sheets did you have to do for each book? Do you remember?
I think it was 12 to 15. I think it might have been 12. It was a while ago. I can't really remember. I think, yeah, it was 12. And then at the end, we were like, oh no, we need more. And I remember there's one sheet in there. It's one of my favorite sheets. And I painted it in like one night because Theo was like, we need another one from you. I'm like, oh my God, I only have like two nights or something to do this. So, yeah.
Was it hard to stay motivated to see it through?
Yeah, towards the end, it got a little taxing, but
for everybody.
Yeah, I think so. It was a large thing to take on, but ultimately very, very worth it.
And it's got to help that everyone was on the same page with it to keep each other accountable.
Oh, yeah.
It's like going to the gym.
Yeah. You can do it. Come on. One more.
Yeah. So now to switch gears a little bit. So I wanted to talk about, because I haven't had very many women on the show yet. And in one sense, I feel like it's weird to make a point of talking about like women and tattooing stuff because it's like almost part of the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like there's certain things that I'm curious about because you have a perspective that's much different than my own and much different than a lot of the people listening to the show. But at the same time, I feel like if I'm asking you, why are women treated differently in tattooing? Then I'm treating you differently because no other show have I said, why are men the way they are on the show? You know what I mean? It's like a weird thing.
Yeah.
Is this a topic that's annoying or boring to you?
No, not at all. I mean, I get asked it a lot.
So why do you think that women are treated differently?
I mean, well, because it was just men were doing it first for so long. I mean, there were women there, but, you know, like Dainty Dottie, she was married to Owen Jensen. So it's like, I think she started tattooing to help him with the overload of Navy men or whatever were coming into the shop to get tattooed. I don't know. I think about it a lot. I get asked it a lot, but it's kind of a tricky thing to answer. Because obviously what you said, I only have my perspective.
Right.
And it has been really hard, you know, like, men don't want to get tattooed by me because I'm a woman. Like that has happened and that's fine. Or men want to get tattooed by me because I'm a woman. And I think a lot of men see that as, I guess it's a, what's the word? They're threatened because they think a woman's only busy because she's got boobs or she's pretty. But they wouldn't dare say that about a man.
Right. He's only busy because he's got a huge dick.
Exactly.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard that either.
But what a reputation to have.
Right.
That'd be,
yeah,
that'd be a new one for
good
them.
Good for that tattooer. Good for him. Yeah. So, and I have worked with men who don't like female tattooers, but like me, or say they like me when they really don't, because they
have you had experience where you really feel like some friction between coworkers?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
and it's not for any other apparent reason than it makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or they're mad I'm busy, and they're not.
Right.
And it's
the easiest thing to blame.
Right. It's only because I have boobs. It's like,
and then if they were busier than you, they'd say, yeah, it's because she's got boobs.
Right. Exactly. So
she doesn't know what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. It's tricky and it's hard to talk about it. And I try to not be like controversial on the show and I try to not like kick up dust or like say something that's going to make people really angry or, you know, heated about stuff. But it is something that I think about and I think, in my life, the strong female influences are my wife and my sister, who are very vocal about this sort of thing. And they make me think about this stuff in ways that I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And to see things that maybe without even realizing it, I've just accepted as this is the way it's been, but not for a real reason. So it's interesting for me to hear your experiences with it, because I feel like you've worked in shops and at a level that not a lot of women have maybe been able to yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have to agree with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's gotta be a testament to whether it's your work ethic or just your drive or your ability to maintain relationships with the right people.
I feel like a lot of men have talked about women being drama or dramatic or whatever. I try to be pretty even keel and do my work. I mean, everyone has bad days and stuff, of course. Sure. But
I've worked with a lot of guys that are drama too.
Well, exactly. I was actually going to bring that up. Like, there's a lot of men who are more dramatic than women can be. So yeah, I don't really know what it is. I just, I've talked to, you know, Tim Lehigh, and he was like, well, I really wanted to hire you at Blackheart because you didn't do TV. You turned TV down. And I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah. You know, there's so many reasons that, you know, but, maybe they wanted, to have another woman in the shop because they had one before. I think it's good to always have a woman in a shop. It's a good thing, you know. And right now I work with probably more women than men in Los Angeles. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Is that different? Can you notice a difference between it to either strengthen the stereotype or break it apart?
No, it's just different.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. It's always going to be case by case.
Yeah, of course.
So what do you think it would take for the way things have been to like the perception of tattooing just in general, and not even just men and women, but just everything, because it's a lot of white guys in tattooing.
Yeah. So many. I was actually having a conversation with, another female tattooer, in Oakland when I was just working up there, about that. She's like, there's not really a lot of people of color in tattooing who aren't labeled ghetto or trans or gay or lesbian, or, you know, it's very heavy male, white, straight. I'm sure that it will shift. I know that there's more and more of different people from different backgrounds coming into tattooing because there's so many people getting into tattooing. So we just maybe haven't been noticing them, or I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough to say. It's too bad that stuff like that does take so long to change.
Right.
And it's almost like you need a few key people to kind of forge a path, but how attainable is that in tattooing? Because it's like,
I know, right?
It's hard because there aren't really like tattoo stars. I mean, there's, you know, people on television and stuff, but it's not really that kind of business. It's
right.
Not like a band who's everybody loves all of a sudden and then they can get their message across and stuff. Like, there's tattooers that are well known, but they're not really celebrities. They're just people who do great tattoos.
Right. Yeah. I think maybe we need to do conventions where it's, you know, more heavily women, heavily gay, people of color, trans, like find these people out, like do some research and invite them. And I mean, I think that would be super interesting.
It would make people, a lot of people, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
I can only imagine the response to like an all gay tattoo convention.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
Probably after a few years, it would be really great, but the first couple would be tough.
Yeah.
Because people would really, because anytime you make a statement like that, you get the people who are like, whoa, well, I'm going to have an all straight convention.
Well, right. Or don't advertise that it's that.
Right.
And just invite the people and just be like, this is a tattoo convention.
Yeah. And it's interesting. And I feel like I think about this stuff a lot more in the past year because doing a show like this and curating people and curating opinions and stuff. And then I get messages from people, hey, you should have more of this on there, more of that on there. And then it becomes more apparent that, you know, the very narrow view that I've represented on the show. And, so I'm hoping to widen that a bit.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it's like there's women in tattooing just kind of really took over. Like it hasn't been that long.
Right.
I remember working my first convention in San Francisco in 2005, and I think there was maybe one woman tattooing there, and that wasn't that long ago.
Right. At this point, though, there really are a pretty good number of women that are tattooing at an extremely high level.
Yeah.
At an extremely high level of visibility.
Mm-hmm.
That the people who are starting to tattoo right now are probably going to be more open to diversity.
Yeah.
And they'll probably be more open to getting tattooed by whoever, because you can't deny someone who does great work.
Yeah, of course.
And people are going to see your work, and maybe 20 years ago, the same person could not want to get tattooed by you because you're a woman. But now, I don't know. I just feel like there's been a lot of progress in the past year because it's been a lot of friction in the world.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And it's funny how that trickles down to tattooing, but I really see a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, like you were saying before, I think it's weird how many people make like a weird sexual element connected to tattooing. And I feel like that might be a hurdle for women because because a lot of people will turn it into a weird sexual thing.
Oh, of course.
Or they'll expect stuff. And I see people posting online like creepy messages that guys send to female tattooers.
Yeah, especially if, you know, you're feeling yourself. You post a selfie or whatever. It's like, fine, post a selfie. Like, you look good. Do it. Or, you know, you want to pose in your underwear. Whatever, that's fine. I personally don't do that because that's just not me. But far be it from me to, you know, say like a girl can't do that. But it just sucks that like a woman can't do that and be stoked on herself and be a tattooer and then get creepy messages. Like, she's not wanting that, or maybe she is, who knows? I don't know, it's case by case. But yeah, when I'm sure you've heard like stories of women like and their creepy messages, it's like, that sucks. It shouldn't be the case. Like, that again, going back to like the men, it doesn't happen if a guy posts a selfie, right? You know,
because guys are gross.
Yeah,
I can say after 10 years of tattooing, I've gotten one message that I was asked on a date.
Oh.
But it wasn't like a raunchy message by any means.
Right.
And I said, no, and thank you, I'm married. Actually,
thank you,
I'm sorry.
Married.
And she said, I didn't mean it like that.
Oh, okay. So what did you mean by go on a date?
Right. It was also Valentine's Day. I'm not even kidding.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
As I was trying to find some stuff to talk about, I saw on your Instagram page an old photo you posted when you're like surfer
oh,
chicked out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And after that photo was taken, how long before you were bitten by a bat that has turned you into the skeleton and urn gravestone seeking tattooer that you are today? What happened?
Great question.
And in the video version of this, I'm going to put that picture on there. So you
please,
can
do,
all see.
Please do. I grew up in San Diego.
That photo is like what I pictured California as an East Coaster.
You're correct. Yeah. That grew up in San Diego and surfing was what you did. And so I surfed, I skateboarded, I snowboarded. But the thing is, I was what I call a closet goth. I listened to all that music in high school, and I was obsessed with Tim Burton as a child, and Edward Gorey and all that like dumb, creepy shit. And but I kept it to myself because I knew that everyone would make fun of me because that wasn't cool. And so when friends would get in my car in high school, I'd turn, you know, the Suzy off and put whatever, you know, was popular at the time. So yeah, and my friends would make fun of me. They would. Like, you wanna watch Edward Scissorhands? It's like, yeah, I do. So that was always who I really was. I just was really scared to kind of come out of the closet.
Right. The goth closet.
Yeah. And so wear black.
So what made you feel more comfortable to kind of seek and pursue? Because maybe did tattooing play a role in that as far as something you were interested in that maybe you had suppressed?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I used to see tattoos on men at the beach all the time. And I was super, like, I was drawn to it. I did my college level art class in high school, my main focus was on tattooing, and I think at 11th or 12th grade. So I was always really into it. And in college, I went to art school, and I was like, I got my first tattoo. I'm like, yeah. I mean, it was a snowflake. So that's funny. But yeah, I realized I'm like, it doesn't really matter. Like, I just want to wear black. That's who I am.
Yeah. And well, I guess going to art school, you probably met a lot of different kind of people there. Was it still kind of uptight?
I did go to a heavily like graphic design, digital art college, because my mom told me I needed to have a real job, but I could do art, but it needed to be a real job. So I went there and I was extremely unhappy, because it wasn't really an art school. I didn't get to draw. I didn't get to paint. It was just all on the computer. And I actually started apprenticing like halfway through college. And then I got my associates just to make my mom happy. And then I did the tattoo thing. And yeah, I definitely, in tattooing, I mean, it really toughened me up. I had like a real apprenticeship, and well, not real, because I don't want to say real. It was my apprenticeship,
right?
It really taught me to be direct and have a lot of confidence, and really be who I wanted to be. So I really do think tattooing kind of shaped me as a person as well.
I agree. All the same things. Learning how to be direct, I think, was the hardest thing for me to overcome, because I always kind of fumfered around the point or whatever. But
yeah.
But once you learn, you can say anything to anyone as long as you smile while you say it.
Exactly.
No one will ever react negatively to that.
Yeah. It's a neat trick.
Yeah. And it's better for your customers too.
Yeah.
Because it just saves time and whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, we're going to take a break and we will be right back. This week, we're sponsored by Kosai Publications. And Kosai Publications has joined up with Atonement Books to bring you 108 Dragons by the legend of traditional Japanese tattooing from Hungary, Ivan Sazi, also known as Hori Iban. A great inspirational and portable reference guide to Japanese dragons drawn by the master. It also includes previously unreleased photos taken by Alex Reinke, Hori Kitsune, all in a pocket-sized book. Available now for £50 plus shipping at atonementbooks.com. That's atonementbooks.com. And for all of you in the States, that's about $60. So check that out. We're also sponsored this week by Alliance Tattoo Supply. Alliance is a tattooer-owned and operated company specializing in high-quality equipment and supplies built by tattooers for tattooers. You can shop their inventory at alliancetattoosupply.com. And what you'll find there is everything from daily used shop supplies from brands you know and trust to one-off handmade machines from top quality builders. They're the only U.S. distributor of Luca Mamone tattoo machines, and they're the exclusive distributor of Lineage Needles. And I got the chance to try out Lineage Needles lately, and I will say that they are consistent, smooth, and they absolutely get the job done. I'm not just saying that. Lineage Needles are built to their personal specs using what they believe are the safest materials available. With 316L stainless steel for their pins as well as the bars, and a high-quality lead-free silver-bearing solder to hold it all together, Lineage Needles stands on the shoulders of giants to bring you the quality you deserve at an affordable price. For everyone in the lower 48 states, if you make an order over $200, you get free shipping. And to sweeten the deal a little more, if you use promo code BOOKSCLOSED, you'll get 10% off your first order. So that's at AllianceTattooSupply.com. Use the promo code BOOKSCLOSED and get 10% off your first order. The best way to support Books Closed is by supporting our sponsors, so please check out Kosai Publications and Alliance Tattoo Supply. That was a genuine moment. So you were surprised I asked you to be on the show.
I was, yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I just kind of lay low and do my work, and I'm not.
But isn't that enough sometimes?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, we're here, aren't we?
We are here.
In Los Boston Angeles, wherever
right.
We are.
Yeah, in the basement of Ghost in the Machine.
Ooh.
Ooh. How fitting. It's October.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I walked in, you were listening to...
Oh, I was
horror soundtracks.
But it was a great choice.
It was very fitting. Yeah. The whole scene as I walked here on an uncharacteristically hot fall day. Mm-hmm. And everyone on the street was young and wearing athletic clothing.
Yeah. I think there's a college very close. So that would explain
that. Would make
that.
Sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of tank tops on guys in very short shorts.
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah. You're not the first person that told me that they were surprised that I asked them to do this, but I think that's laughable. Get real. As someone who came up in the ranks working at a lot of different shops and a lot of cool shops.
Cool shops.
A lot of cool people shops. What do you look for in a work environment now? And has it changed over the years?
I think it has changed. I think for a while I just wanted to stay in one place and just get better and learn. I really do like working around people who have been tattooing longer than me, who are older than me, who are obviously better than me. And I got to do that. But now not to say that I still want that. It's a lot harder to come by now that I live in Los Angeles. But ultimately, I now want to travel a lot. And people are always like, come guest spot, come to this convention. I'm always like, yeah, but you know, I was working at some places where it was a lot harder to take time off. So now that I'm able to just kind of make my own schedule and travel freely, I'm taking full advantage of that. So I think that's what I needed right now.
Yeah, I think that's always a good way to get refreshed if you need it or even if you don't need it.
Yeah.
As far as how the tattoo world has evolved over your time in it, and just in general, do you have any resentments or fears? Because on the show, we talk a lot about social media stuff and tech stuff, and I'm trying to not like hammer that so much now because I feel like we discussed it to death last season.
Well, I think it's important to talk about that as a female too, because it's very different than... from a male perspective.
Kind of tying in with what we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never really gotten a lot of really creepy messages. It's very few and far between. But, and
because you're scary.
Yeah. A lot of people are always like, you're so much nicer than I thought. I'm like, do I just like seem like a total, like, just mean person online?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just your tattoos.
Yeah. That might tough. Be it.
Honestly, some people read into that stuff like it's a direct reflection of your personality, maybe.
That's true.
And when they walk into you tattooing the Halloween soundtrack.
How fitting. I've never really had a lot of issues with men being super inappropriate to me. I mean, they have, obviously. I am a woman and that happens to women, unfortunately. But, you know, I've always been in a serious relationship all throughout learning to tattoo and tattooing. I'm not like, not outwardly like super flirtatious, not to say that like that makes you someone that gets that attention.
Right.
But,
yeah, because even having to say that you're in a relationship is kind of like crazy that you have to point that out, because that's not even the point.
I know. No, well, yeah, both of these. Like, yeah. You know, this is just things I've thought of might be the case.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just like you said, like I'm scary or something. I don't know. I don't think I am, but the internet's a weird place for a woman. Especially with tattooing. I mean, I got an iPhone because of Instagram. I never knew it existed. And my friends were like, there's this thing called Instagram. You can only get it if you have an iPhone. And I'm like, what is this? And I was looking at it and I'm like, oh, there's tattooers on here. Whoa, this is a really, really great tool. So I got it. And it was. And I got it right when I was starting at Spider Murphy's. And so I got it. I feel at a really, really good time. I hate it though. I really do. It's a job. It's a full-time job. Updating and taking photos and documenting. And but now that I've been doing it for X amount of years, I don't know how to tattoo without that. Which is crazy because I didn't have that when I was apprenticing. I had magazines. And then like Dave Fox had a website and Grammy and Jason Kundal at AWR had a website. So I didn't have that. And so I'm constantly learning like how to use it. And yeah, it's a necessary evil.
Are you a tech person?
Oh, no.
Not at all?
Not really. I mean, I can figure it out, but...
Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily appeal to you personally to have to deal with all this stuff.
No.
And do you think that Instagram is kind of just a natural progression from magazines and all that stuff, or is it just a totally different thing? And do you think there's still room for like a magazine anymore? Because there just aren't really magazines.
No, I don't. And that's a sad thing. I used to love going to the bookstore or whatever place had the tattoo magazines and picking up ITA and, Tattoo Mag. And I remember getting my first tattoo artist magazine at a tattoo convention because you had to be a tattooer to buy them. I felt so good. I'm like, I'm a tattooer. I can buy this.
And that was such a valuable resource. I know to me when I started, I learned a lot from that magazine.
Yeah, so did I.
And just like how to be a tattooer before I was around people even getting tattooed. And so figuring out who I wanted to get tattooed by was...
Oh, of course.
And everyone I have on the show is basically just my taste of people that I saw in that magazine.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great magazine. But I mean, it's a dying industry.
But I feel like there's still room for a magazine like Tattoo Artist Magazine.
Yeah, in a way, I do too.
Because people want that stuff.
I mean, some people want tangible things, but a lot of people, younger generations, don't really want. They want to look at it through a screen.
Right. Or a podcast. So maybe this is just like the next step for that.
Yeah.
Because you can just put it on the car and you don't have to read pesky words or anything.
You don't. You have to look up words in the dictionary.
Do you read?
I do. Yeah.
What kind of stuff do you read?
My favorite author is Ray Bradbury. So I read a lot of his short stories. I read a lot of, surprise, surprise, Edgar Allan Poe, H.P. Lovecraft. My favorite like contemporary writer is Bret Easton Ellis. He wrote American Psycho. I really do enjoy reading, but I find I have less and less time to do that.
And you were saying before how literature had some influence on imagery and stuff that you like for your tattooing. Do you still find that you can pull ideas or imagery from literature?
Oh, completely. I mean, I have a whole list in my head of flash sets and books and things that I want to do from a lot of different things, but from literature that I will never have all the time to do all of it.
Especially if you're not wasting your time reading.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to find the time. And that's another thing that I find myself asking a lot on this show is how, like, time management stuff, because I feel like that's the hardest part. Because when you tattoo, it never ends.
Mm-hmm.
To find the balance between family or even just personal or home or letting yourself turn tattooing off for a minute. That's the hardest part.
Right. Because, I mean, all day you're engaging, you're focusing, you're trying to eat between appointments, and I just go home and I just want to sit on the couch in silence and do nothing because it's just like constant action all day.
Yeah, the feeling of fatigue after tattooing all day is...
It's real.
It's real, but it's weird. It's, and you can't really explain that Because I don't know any other venue in my life that I've like felt that. I mean, I went to music school. I was a classically trained musician, and I never felt anything like this then.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Maybe I just didn't try hard enough at music or something. I don't know. But it's a weird thing, and I try to be sensitive to it because I don't want to like just go home every night and be useless.
Yeah.
And be silent, you know?
Exactly.
And so it's like, how do you do that? It's hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. And now that I don't have, at Blackheart, I had, we had a shop assistant and they would just do everything for us. And now I don't have that. And you don't realize how much these people do for you until they don't do it.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, okay. Now I have to write all my emails. I have to schedule things. I have to be at the shop when they call to schedule the appointment. Like it's a lot.
It is.
Yeah.
I think email is the worst part.
Oh, the absolute worst.
It's like always hanging over your head.
Yeah.
Do you have a system?
No, not at all.
Damn it.
I should.
I don't know anyone who has a system.
Yeah.
God. I don't know if there's a way other than having someone else do it for you.
Right.
Yeah. I've heard different versions of people's systems, and it never sounds like a system because you still have to have your hand in it if you want to have any sort of control over what you do.
Right.
And I feel like I lose a lot of people in the wait in the email box.
Right. Yeah. People are a lot more impatient nowadays. Like I get people, did you get my email? Yes, I got your email.
They message you on every other thing that you have online.
Yes, of course I got your email. I'm tattooing right now, or I'm not just sitting around.
Right.
Constantly in motion.
Yeah, it's like if you don't hear back from me, no one else is going to hear back first. Right. Like it's all going to happen just at a different pace than what you're maybe expecting.
Yeah, and the DM thing, it's great, but it's also people just like willy-nilly like, hey, I want to get tattooed. Okay, well, email me. And then it does weed a lot of people out when they have to take an extra step.
They have to tap two other places on their phone screen.
Yeah. Oh, heaven forbid.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot to ask. Because they're here. They're in the DMs.
Their thumbs are tired.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they also had a hard day at work whatever that they were doing.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough life.
I don't know if you're familiar with the world of like YouTube tattoo tutorials.
I am not.
Did you know that that's a thing?
No, but I'm not surprised.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of people fixate on that stuff. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I fixate on it for humor purposes typically, but I've seen a lot of people that get really bent out of shape about it. And do you feel like that sort of thing is really threatening tattooing?
I mean, I just became aware of it right the second, so I don't
but
know
just
if
like
I have
the
an opinion
people,
yet.
People who like their whole purpose in life is a tirade against scratchers. I fucking hate scratchers. And that's what they fixate on all the time. And kind of like we were talking before about, there's always an easy explanation for something.
Mm-hmm.
And if there ain't no dumb women tatting in your town, then there's certainly some goddamn scoundrel scratchers.
That's right.
And you know, I never made that connection till right now, but that explains a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
That there's always going to be the easiest target for the easiest excuse as to why my life isn't better than yours.
Well, right. I mean, tattooers love to complain. We just do.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea.
Do you think being generally negative is a prerequisite for tattooing?
I do. But then you meet some of the most positive individuals and I'm just like, how are you?
But I think that comes later. That comes through the enlightenment that one can receive through tattooing for a while. Maybe.
Or,
I feel more positive now than I ever was.
Oh, yeah. I feel I have good days and bad days.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we all do. But I mean, generally, do you feel like you're a more positive person than negative?
No, I'm pretty negative.
But in a lighthearted way or in a way where you're really like stewing over things?
Depends.
Damn.
Yeah. Overall, I'm very pessimistic. Yeah.
Because I've only known you for about an hour, but you don't seem like a bad person to be around as far as like super negative.
Right. I'm not super negative.
Because you know the type of person who's just like terrible to be around.
Yeah, it's just like constant, like everything's wrong, everything's a problem. Yeah. I'm not like that. But I always
more of a functioning negative person.
Yeah, I just always assume the worst.
Yeah, I think that's the easiest way to be.
Yeah,
for most people.
Yeah,
and I wish I could directly reference what I'm thinking of, but I can't remember where I saw it. Just stuff online where people complain. I think it's Facebook groups, because people add me to Facebook groups, and then you're in it, whether you want it or not, and then your whole timeline are these groups. And so people have been adding me to these tattoo groups. Join our group. We want you to be in our group. Oh. And it's thousands of people who don't seem to have any peers in their real life, which to me is just peculiar.
Right. Yeah.
And I get not everyone has access to, like, maybe if you live in the Midwest, you're not 5 or less hours away from a great tattooer like you are on maybe either of the coasts or certain places.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So I get that I'm not in the same position as some people, but it just seems that some people have zero, they have no one else to talk about it with except on the internet. And then they just like drive themselves crazy.
Well, I mean, it's a platform for that, you know, especially Facebook. I can't really go on it anymore because it's just people complaining constantly, or baby pictures, which I'm not really that into babies. So, you know, so yeah, it's easy. It's easy for them to just type a thing and put it out there, and then it's out there.
Right. And at the same time, though, I feel that they must be getting a sense of community. Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't really argue that maybe these people that don't have coworkers that they're on the same page with or in general.
Yeah.
And to find thousands of other people that want to like talk shit about scratchers with them all night on Facebook.
Like, that's, oh my God, my people.
Yeah. So in a sense, I think that's a cool thing too. So I'm often conflicted about the internet.
Yeah, I am as well.
But I definitely don't, I'm never inclined to partake.
Oh no, never.
Yeah. It never goes how you want it to.
Yeah. I mean, especially like, I know you've talked about this a lot. A lot of people have talked about it, but the Everence thing, it's like people are asking me that are collectors or, you know, friends, what's going on with that? I'm like, I don't know.
Like you're in the Tat Illuminati.
Yeah. Like I have all the answers, the secret answers. Like, I don't know what it is.
It's like once you get good enough at tattooing, you're in this club where you know everything about everyone who's at that level.
So strange. I don't, but
that's what they all say.
Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm going to stay out of that. A lot of people who I really love and respect and as humans and as tattooers are doing it. And I don't think that they would do anything that would hurt tattooing. So that was my answer.
Yeah.
So just leave me out of it.
Yeah. That's a safe way to play that one.
Yeah.
That was a weird thing.
It was. And it was really unfortunate how people responded to it. It really, really hurt me and a lot of other people I care about.
Yeah. And it's interesting that is probably going to be like a significant thing that people talk about for a long time.
Yeah.
Because it kind of drew a line in the sand for a lot of people.
It did.
And it really showed the true colors of, I don't know, the general public as a thing, maybe. Or it's like when you put something out, what you can expect to get back. And it doesn't matter who you are. Because when you're the kind of person who should be safe from that, you know, like you're saying, people who have a proven track record in tattooing, that even someone like that isn't safe from like doing a thing that they want to do that really doesn't affect anybody else. And you're still like personally attacked in a pretty crazy way.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really shocking.
Like social media has a way of making people feel like they're not actually talking to another human on the other end.
Oh, exactly. Like I said, they can just blindly type something and put it out there and
they just want a response of any type. And that's maybe the way they get it, is to be really abrasive.
Yeah.
But it's weird. And that ties into all the stuff with how women get treated on the internet, where it's just like, there's no consequence to saying anything.
Oh, I know.
And that's like the lowest common denominator for like desperate people online and just like say some shit to some girl.
Yeah.
And just see what you get back.
It blows my mind. It really does. Like, you can't be, it's like the Madonna and the whore, you know, like, especially like I feel that way with the internet. It's like, I do my best to just put out my work, show my work. I have a friend who said his coworker follows me because she likes the way I look. She doesn't have tattoos. She doesn't like tattoos. She doesn't want to get tattooed. She only follows me because she likes my style and the way that I look, which is crazy to me. And then I got to thinking, well, how many other people are just doing that? So on the off chance I do post a photo of myself doing something. Or,
which isn't that often. So it's interesting that someone would latch on to your appearance from your Instagram.
Right. Yeah. I try not to. I used to post a lot of personal things earlier on, but I realized that's, I don't really want to do that. I just want it to be for my work. And so when people do come up to me, they're like, oh, I follow you. Oh, that's, sorry, that's weird. I'm like, no, that's what it's for. Like, it's not weird because it's not a personal account, really. It's a work account.
Right. It's only as weird as you have the control to make it, which
sure.
is one of the good things.
Yeah. And so when I do post something of myself, I it takes me a really long time. I have to like talk myself into doing it because I don't really like to do it. Because I just want my work to be showcased, not myself.
And is that a response to how you feel like it could get judged from people by maybe lumping you in with someone who's using other ways of attracting customers or attention to your work?
Yeah, maybe subconsciously. Like I'm all for, like I've said, like if you feel in yourself, post a selfie. Get it, girl. But I've never felt like doing that. That's just not how I'm wired. Like I just would rather post work that I'm happy with instead of a picture of myself. I find it really like weird and like, oh, why am I don't know. Like people know what I look like. Like it's not important. Like my tattoos are important. But yeah, it's a weird, I don't know. It's hard for me.
It feels like a tightrope that you have to walk.
Yeah.
As you explain it, it feels like you're always going to kind of, depending on the day, lean one way or the other, and you're always going to have to, you know, second guess or.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's a tricky.
It sucks.
Yeah. Because I've worked so hard to get the like respect of the people that I really admire and look up to. But also, ultimately, those people aren't the ones paying my bills. The average person who just likes the way I dress is, or potentially might. So that's why I'm like, okay, I'm in this cool place at this cool like cemetery or something. I'll post a picture of me next to this cool headstone or whatever. So
it's good for your brand.
It is. Yes, I do. One of my friends said, Your Instagram is really like marketed great. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, it really like is cohesive, and all the photos look the same. I'm like, they do. And I actually went back and I looked. I'm like, oh, it does. It's all like dark and like, but I didn't mean to do that. I just like the way that looks.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it is a weird way to look at our own social media as like our brand. I mean, it's basically our company website at this point.
Yeah, sure.
And so it is, I think that it does give more power to all of your work by having that cohesive nature to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember who, I think it was Steve Byrne was talking about that, where he has like a really cohesive look to his page.
He does.
And it makes it look awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, he was one of the first tattooers like I noticed on Instagram. I'm like, oh, Steve Byrne's got an Instagram. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so there's definitely something to that, but it also kind of sucks that we have to like be a marketing team and consider all those things.
Well,
and
yeah,
if you want to stand out, it almost doesn't matter how great your work is. You also have to have everything else with it.
Exactly. Like I've seen so many people, they have this one filter or something, and it's, especially in Los Angeles, it's all, not all, but you know, a lot of gimmick based tattooing. So it can be frustrating.
Yeah, because it's like fighting against something that's illogical.
Yeah.
Where you can only do so much until you're doing mini portraits on people's fingers.
Oh. Or just an outline of black work and pink filter.
I can't even count how many days this summer that I did full days of work with no shader setup at all.
Oh, yeah.
Just all liner stuff.
I mean, it's easy.
It's kind of a nice trend.
It is.
In some sense.
Yeah, it's okay. Just outline, great.
But when is getting cool tattoos going to be a trend to the general public? Maybe never.
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like we're getting there more than ever.
I mean, especially I was really spoiled in San Francisco. People, there's a tattoo scene there. There's a culture there. And it's not, oh, you have tattoos. It's who do you get tattooed by? I remember moving there in the early 2000s and just seeing, like, you know, Scott Sylvia sleeves and Grimy sleeves and back pieces. And I'm just like, where am I? This is insane. And people are tattooed there. And
they respect it because they're seeking the right people out.
Yeah. And it's all there for them, for the taking. You know, like, it's so easy to just get awesome tattoos. And I really, moving to Los Angeles has made me kind of reflect. And it's kind of a crazy thing because people don't really feel that way. I mean, I'm sure there are people there that feel that way. But I mean, people aren't getting traditional there. That's still happening in the Bay and Japanese. And it really, like, hurts, you know? And then I'm also like, well, man, I was really spoiled.
Yeah, it's hard to go back when you've had maybe the best or one of the best places.
Yeah.
Do you think that LA just attracts a certain kind of person?
Yeah, it's a very transient city. People move there to try and make it big and or do whatever, and music, film, TV, modeling, and they're there for a year and they use all their money and it's gone and they have to move back to their small town. You know, it happens all the time. So it's constantly in motion, and a lot of it has to do with hype. Like Hollywood is real. Like, that aspect to Los Angeles is real. And, you know, oh, this is the guy. Oh, and then, like, oh, this is the guy. No, this is the guy. Like, or girl.
Right. Yeah, people just want to have the tattoo by the person who tattooed someone that they look up to.
Exactly.
It's more of that.
Or they want an experience. They more so want an experience so that they have a story to tell at the bar.
Right. I got tattooed by the same guy that tattoos Mel Gibson.
Exactly. Mel Gibson.
That's such a weird thing, but I get it. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. But then, you know, I've been there a year and I'm slowly finding my people, you know, but I'm a tattooer that people just travel for. I've been that way at Spider Murphy's because, I mean, that shop is a very travel heavy destination spot. Same with Blackheart, but more so, like, people are in San Francisco traveling there and then they're like, oh, Blackheart's there. LA is, again, like, people are always traveling there, but they're not too concerned with getting tattooed as much. But there are people that still do travel for me, and that's when I get to do the cool tattoo.
So we're here to tell all of you listeners that if you're living in LA right now and you've got maybe 2 months left to survive there before you got to go back to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go back to Wisconsin even sooner, then then I know someone who can help you get rid of that pesky money that's keeping you there.
Thank you.
Yes. Because I'm sure all those people that are trying to be actors who don't actually care about tattooing are definitely listening to hour-long tattoo podcasts.
Absolutely. Yeah, they have, like, one little hidden thing and they're...
They're really interested in, like, how Freddie Corbin came up.
Oh, Mr. Nice Guy.
Got one more question before we wrap up.
Okay.
If you weren't a tattooer, what would you want to do?
I would be a dominatrix.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What did you aspire to when you were younger, before art school, when you were still surfing?
I had no idea. I knew I wanted to do something with art, but I knew I didn't want to have like a 9-to-5, but I didn't know what that was. But yeah, I've been asked that before, and I've been interested in that for probably since I moved to San Francisco, because the armory was right there where they had kink.com. And at Blackheart, I tattooed so many sex workers and became friends with all of them, and kind of slowly told them, I'm like, I've always wanted to be a dom, you know, but I know it kind of like tattooing. Like, I wanted to be respectful. You know how you just don't come out and be like, oh, I want a tattoo. And I've talked to several of my clients and friends, and they're like, do it, you know. But, you know, it's a whole like, if I were to do it, I would want to do it the correct way. And it would take a lot of time. And I mean,
which we've already established, you don't have extra time.
I do not have extra time.
I still haven't met a tattooer for this podcast that is complaining about all the extra time that they have.
Yeah, I don't think it exists.
Thank you to Heather for being on the show this week. If you want to follow her work on Instagram, you can find her at Cathedral of Tears. And I also want to thank Eric at Ghost in the Machine Tattoo for letting me impose and do this interview after hours. They're very accommodating. Once again, I'm Andrew Stortz. You can find me on Instagram at Andrew Stortz. And if you like this podcast and you want to stay up to date on it, or if you want to catch up on old episodes you may have missed, everything you need to know is at booksclosedpodcast.com. You can find show notes, videos, all the episodes, links, stuff about guests, sponsors. It's all there. Just go to booksclosedpodcast.com. You can also buy some show merch to show your support. If you've made it this far, you must enjoy listening. And to me, that means that you'd be a great candidate to leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else that you're listening to this podcast. It really helps the show out, and more importantly, it just gives me a very warm, fuzzy feeling. One last big thank you to our sponsors this week, Alliance Tattoo Supply and their new Lineage Needles, as well as Kosai Publications. What do you say we do this again next week? Will you be here? I'll be here. I'll see you then.